Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Well, the Jed Hoyer era of Cubs baseball has officially begun. Here is the new president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer. And first of all, Jed, congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And now that you're in the hot seat and you'll be getting the criticism, will you be reading the sports columns and listening to sports talk shows less and less?
So it's interesting. I read stuff all the time. I just think that I like to read. I feel like I always pull up columns and I'm curious on people's takes on things. I've always avoided talk radio. I think I've said a million times that I feel like a baseball season is a little bit like watching your stock portfolio. And if you watch it every day, you kind of go crazy. And I think that listening to talk radio, I think that there's a sense of overreaction, both positively and negatively, game to game. And so I try to avoid that. I think that our job is to try to be clear-headed and try to look at the big picture and not overreact or underreact to things that are happening day to day. So anyway, that's kind of how I look at it. So read, yes. Listen to talk radio, no.
Does everybody know that at Wesleyan University in Connecticut, you were a standout shortstop and relief pitcher? I believe you tied a record there for the most saves. Is there a statue of you there at Wesleyan?
No, there's certainly not. There's a lot more impressive alums than me that are coming out of there. But no, you know what? I always joke that like my playing career becomes less and less relevant the more I'm around the big league players. You know, like you see what they can do and how gifted they are. Now, I love to play. You know, I played through college and had a great time doing it, and then I coached for a while after college before working for the Red Sox. So I always say, listen, I love the game just as much as the guys that are playing in the big leagues. I just wasn't genetically as gifted, and so that's why I'm up in an office and they're on the field.
Many baseball executives never played the game. How does that experience that you had on the field help you?
I always think that it helps me just like kind of understanding how hard the game is. You know, we all go through ups and downs, and you have to fight your way through them. And you know, I always remember every year I would struggle during our Florida trip offensively. It took me a while to get going. And I remember like my senior year calling my parents, and I was probably hitting 200 through the first 10 games or something like that. And I just started complaining about how bad I was. And my mom just paused, and she read all my comments from the last 2 years. And she's like, I've heard this before. Here's what you said last year. Here's what you said the year before. Like, basically, like, this is an annual thing. I don't want to hear it anymore. And so I think to myself, I think about that all the time. It's hard. You know, like, there's ups and downs. And you talk to players about, you know, their mentality. And so I think it helps keep me grounded a little bit when I'm watching someone struggle, just realizing that it happens and you just have to fight through it. And that's part of what this game is. And I think that's why the best players, you know, I think, are the most confident, but also are able to realize that, you know, I'm the same guy that when I'm going, when I'm 10 for my last 20, I'm the same guy that as I am when I'm 1 for my last 20, and you have to fight through those challenges. And I think that's where it helps me a lot.
Hey, Jed, it's Andy. Congratulations. Appreciate you taking the time here for us as well. I'm just curious because this is a strange time, not only in baseball, but obviously in the world with COVID and the pandemic. How much is that going to affect what you're doing going forward here in the near term as far as maybe even hiring a GM?
Yeah, well, I think it affects everyone. I mean, obviously, you know, different teams are affected differently, but you know, certainly we're all impacted by it. Obviously, unfortunately, we had to do, you know, pay cuts, and then we had some job cuts during the course of the year, as almost all teams did. And then, you know, I think it's going to impact us just with the uncertainty of things. It's hard to know, you know, what 2021 is going to look like. Yeah, we really, really don't know. And I think when it comes to hiring a GM, it's also really an uncertain time as well. And I have to think about the best way to approach that. I certainly want to bring in someone from the outside and bring in some fresh ideas. I think that's it's a great opportunity to do that. It's also a really hard time to onboard someone, you know, to bring them in and have them become part of the culture. And, you know, I mean, you know, today, when I look at my calendar at the beginning of every day, it's just nothing but Zoom calls. And that's great. And I think the Zoom calls help us get through this time, but there's certainly no way to build a culture, you know? And so I do think that's a real challenge. And when we are hiring people, I think it's that much more difficult to get them up to speed. So I think I have to, I'll factor that in certainly when I think about the timing.
You know, you've been around Theo for a long time, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, now you're replacing him and this and that. And I know you don't really look at it that way. And this is really not the first time that you've stepped out of that quote unquote shadow and become your own guy. I mean, you got the job in San Diego and you left him as well.
Yeah, it's not the first time. And you know, I said this in a press conference and I meant it. Like I don't really look at it like I'm replacing Theo. You know, I've been with him, you know, the entire time in Chicago. We've made some really good decisions together. We've made some bad decisions, and I was sort of a part of that experience with him. So I don't look at it as a replacing type thing. You know, I think if I did, it's really daunting. You know, you think about what he's accomplished, and you know, certainly he's going to be in Cooperstown someday. So I think when you think about it as replacing a Hall of Famer, it's much more daunting. If you think about replacing someone you've worked with the last 17. You know, 17 of the last 19 years, and you've won championships together, and he's a really, you know, incredibly close friend. I think it's a little bit of a different dynamic. And listen, what I want to do is keep pushing things forward. I want to continue to evolve. And obviously, I've learned a lot of lessons from him and from watching him, and so I hope I can incorporate those things as well.
Jed, how much of what you'll be doing as far as player moves, how much of that will be based on what Theo Epstein had in his plans for 2021?
Well, we've been talking about a lot of this stuff, you know, throughout the whole summer. So, you know, certainly, you know, I think, I don't want to say his influence, but certainly, you know, like, you know, he was part of that dynamic, part of the planning process. Obviously, he's not now. He's not in the meetings now. But you know, I think he certainly weighed in. I think that influence will wane over time. You know, as we get past this off season, I think that'll stop. But you know, I think whenever you think about off season planning, it's really that's something that's really gone on for months and months. I mean, that's a lot of what we do over the course of the summer. After you get past the trade deadline, I think you start to, you know, kind of hone in on what you need to do the next winter.
You know, with the uncertainty, as you pointed out earlier, of 2021, with what the landscape may look like, it's going to look a lot different as far as the winter meetings are concerned, too. It's going to be virtual. How difficult is that going to be without being able to go face-to-face with a lot of other GMs and other team presidents?
Well, I think that the good thing is, I mean, we don't really do much face-to-face stuff anyway. Anymore. It used to be when I first got into the game that, you know, you'd have your group of three or four people and the other team would have their group and you go meet, and it was like almost like this mating ritual type thing that you went through, and that's gone away over the last 10-12 years. And so now it's really all phone calls and texting. But I will say where it is really unfortunate is it's just, for every organization, it's a great opportunity. You see all the people that work at your affiliates. You get a chance to be in a room with all your scouts for 4 days. It's really a bonding time in a lot of ways, and that's what's going to be missed, is that we don't have the ability to do that. And that's the kind of thing, you know, like I was saying before, like that's where Zoom can't really create a culture. You know, being up at 2 a.m. and talking about players or just joking around at the winter meetings, that will be missed, because it does take away from the, you know, that bonding experience when you have to make a hard decision together, or, you know, call someone during the course of the summer. Having spent 4 days with them in the winter meetings really helps build that relationship and that trust.
Hey, how is the fact that nobody knows if fans will be allowed into Wrigley Field next year, and the financial losses, what those might be, how does all of that affect your budget?
Well, I think what it does is it sort of takes away a little bit of specificity. You know, I think in a normal time, you'd have like a pretty specific budget. Now we'd be able to budget within, you know, 50 or 100,000 fans, you know, going into next year. And you certainly can't even come close to that. So, you know, we have a range, but there's no way to get that to that kind of same level of specificity that you normally would be able to, because we don't know. But I think everyone's dealing with that. I don't think that's unique to the Cubs in any way. I think that, you know, every municipality is different, every team is different, and everyone's trying to figure out what's going to happen for next year. So I don't think there's a team in baseball that, they, you know, some teams may be more optimistic or some teams may be more pessimistic, but I don't think any team has any better information. We just don't know right now.
Okay, Jed, here comes the longtime diehard Cubs fan question, and I put myself in this category. What are the chances that the so-called core four, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Contreras, will all be back next season?
Well, I think the way I've always answered this question is that, you know, as far as next year, I don't know. You know, I think that they're all great players. They've all had an incredible run here, and we've tried our hardest to keep that group together as long as we can. I think that I can't answer the question about 21. I think going forward, I think that, you know, there's no way to keep everyone together in 22 and beyond. You know, I think that we've said that for years. When you factor, you know, when you add in a bunch of other players into that mix as well, at some point you're going to have to make some tough decisions. You know, as these guys, you know, get into their 30s or close to 30, and all these guys rightfully will be looking at big contracts in free agency, at some point you're going to have to pick and make decisions. And we've been saying that for 2 years, and I think that's just the reality. So, like I said, I can't answer the question as far as 21, but I think 22 and beyond, you know, I certainly, these guys have, they're legends here, and they should be. And, you know, certainly, you know, we hope that several of them are able to stay for a long time, but realistically, you just can't keep this whole group together forever. And frankly, there's an argument that we shouldn't. You know, I think that we, you know, we've had a little bit of diminished returns the last couple of years with this group. Certainly, I'm proud of the fact that we won the division, but our offense, you know, did struggle. But yeah, I think that realistically, you know, the end of that group is coming. It's just, you know, I can't exactly tell, you know, when it's going to be.
Kyle Schwarber, also eligible to become a free agent after next season. Hey, Jed, I think you should have Kyle get on a weight gaining program this winter. I think he did better a little fat on him.
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, it's so hard to evaluate anything that happened last year. You know, I feel like 60 games is roughly where you are in kind of early June. And we try not to make, you know, snap decisions based on what's happening at that point in the season. And unfortunately, all we have to go on the back of the baseball card for last season is 60 games. So I think keeping those numbers in perspective and realizing that they have meaning, certainly, but you do have to put them in context and realize that just because that season was 60 games doesn't mean that 60 games is any more meaningful than any other 60-game period that you'll have during the course of a season.
Right. I know Theo Epstein still confides in you, Jed. Has he admitted that he wants to be the next host of Jeopardy? Is that what he's going to do?
He can do whatever he wants. You know, I think that's one of the great things about Theo. You know, I always kind of joke that I'm just going to enjoy watching his success from afar now instead of watching it close up. And you know, whatever he puts his mind to, whatever he chooses to do, I think he's going to be able to. I think that he's that kind of person, not only in terms of just, you know, kind of it factor that he has, but also just work ethic and drive. And so, yeah, whatever he wants to do, he'll do. And if he wants to replace Trebek, I'm sure he can. He'd probably do a hell of a job.
Yeah, he'd probably be good. Yeah, presents himself nicely. He's certainly smart. Jed Hoyer, great talking to you. We wish you the best, and we'll be pulling for you. And hopefully, we'll see you down the road at the ballpark before too long.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.